Hey, Chris.
Juan.
And JC. Special guest?
JC.
All right. The Colombian kid with a dream, is that what it was?
No,
Honduran. Honduran. Colombian.
It's a joke. It's a
or
joke. Fuck, so we're banking episodes because, you know, this ain't never going to happen again. It's over. We're doing this. Although, you know what? I read a comment from this one particular person that leaves comments. That sounded weird. But he was all like, what I like about some podcasts is that you're in different areas so that it's like you get to have two perspectives, you know? You can have, I guess, the West Coast perspective and then, you know, the Miami perspective. Because it's not East Coast, Miami.
We can rename the show West Coast, Best Coast.
West Coast, Best Coast. But that, isn't that a put down to here?
Yes.
All right, I'm down.
Yes.
And we can start it with a different rap song every time. All Tupac, all Dr. Dre, all Snoop and Ice Cube all the time.
Because that will represent the East Coast, totally.
It'll be early 90s. Early 90s rap. Yeah. Is what the show is going to be based around. Where I just go to all the hot spots.
And we'll just call it the Viejo Pinga Show.
The Viejo Pinga.
The what? God
damn. God damn. I was like, early 90s. What is this shit?
All right, so we have JC on
just because.
We've been talking about
Time. Yeah, we've been talking about it. But ever since that one time we had him on and the microphones were sounding like shit. It wasn't the best conversation. But it was, 2 years ago? For Art Basel, too, right?
Yeah.
See, that comes full circle.
Yeah. Damn.
Did you guys go to anything for the weekend?
I didn't go to shit. I got mad and said, fuck Art Basel. You went to a bunch of shit.
Yeah, I was all over the place.
But then, next year, I'm going to take a day off and go during the week and fuck the weekends. I will never try to get near Art Basel during the weekend.
It took a week off.
Damn.
Yeah.
Was out there fucking 12 hours.
Yeah,
not just out there. I was there at the
Sunday.
Fairs, yeah. And after parties and bullshitting. And
must be nice to be like a good painter in Miami, huh? A respected painter.
Well, I wouldn't know.
He's like, I don't know what that shit is.
It must be. I mean,
shaking hands.
You got a bunch of hands to shake. Poor Juan didn't get one.
Yeah. No, well, he decided to
gave
say
up,
no.
Man.
Yeah.
I couldn't find parking. That's it. I was like, fuck you. And I just, drove away.
Dude, all I did was I made sure to hit the convention center on Sunday afternoon and then walk from, after. I think they closed, at 6. And then from there, walked the Collins. That was it. And, I told him, I ran into Mr. Brainwash.
Oh, yeah?
I was like, dude, you should have ran off with him like it was a circus. Yeah. Like, take me with you.
You should have mugged him.
No, you know what? Look, I love the documentary, the Exit Through the Gift Shop. Yeah. He does come off like a dick and an asshole, and just dirty. Again, I, in person, really polite, talkative, you know? I don't know anything beyond that. Mm-hmm. But he didn't have paint in his clothes, which I noticed was different than everywhere else that I've seen his shit.
Yeah.
Every time you see a picture of this dude, it seems like he wore the clothes that he was just painting with an hour ago.
Yeah.
Is that cool?
Yeah, it's good for photographs.
Yeah, it is.
It's just like a studio full of splotches, you know? It's just kind of one of those things like, it's a working space.
No, I was going to say, though, I remember seeing his last show a year and a half ago, where it was just a bunch of...
those Star Wars figures?
The Stormtroopers? And
No. This was the one where it was... it was just a lot of large pieces that he had put together. It wasn't actual paintings, but it was like a giant fucking elephant stepping on a spray bottle, and there was paint all over it. It was just a lot of large pieces. It was
sculptures?
Yeah. Well, if you can call them that. I mean, it's just putting a bunch
of
other...
elephant didn't paint anything? The big pink elephant that they painted?
Yeah.
No, but that was a real elephant. This was a fake statue.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's what I remember his last one being. It was just like a half a car going into the ground. It was just, you know... That was it. I don't know. I didn't get it. And then I guess this one was just the paintings that looked like the ones that got him famous back in the day.
Yeah.
That was it. And I'm like, okay. Is he still relevant? What is he?
I don't know.
What the fuck he is.
Yeah, that guy is just... Could we say he's like just a pop art kind of...
Because, I mean, now he's just redoing his own things, right? That's what...
I don't fucking follow
him. I'm telling you, the last...
He is...
What's wrong with art?
Like the version of this guy that's popular now with that song.
Which
that
one?
Gundam style, whatever.
He's the, yeah.
Oh,
the
Korean guy?
Psy,
yeah.
Or whatever.
How is he that guy?
Well, he's just like this
It got popular. It got popular,
and it just got picked up by mass media.
And he drew a lot of attention. I think his thing is that he drew a lot of attention.
No, but I'm saying, but
LA, you know, and he was a package. I mean, he pretty much did what everybody else was doing that was dangerous, like Banksy was doing, and even fucking Dickface Obey and all this other shit. And he just packaged it. You know what I'm saying? And produced a shitload.
I don't.
You know what I'm saying? I don't find his art interesting. Like, I find his art very fucking generic, homemade. You know what I'm saying? Right, because
you've seen it before a lot.
It's very, you know, he's like pop art, whatever the fuck. You know what? To me, like, pop art now has the equivalency of, like, fucking being like McDonald's and shit. Where it's like art for everybody. It has no critical thinking. You know, it's just saying something that, like, you know, it's like somebody coming out being like, fuck Bush. Who gives a shit? You know? Like, you're not really making a statement like that. So.
The guy was a fucking bumper sticker that sold well, and that's it. Like,
yeah, like farther than that is not worth shit. Like,
he makes his money. It's great. Yeah. I think he made like Madonna's cover for a CD and shit like that.
I think you're right.
But I don't know. I don't think there's.
It's just one of those things. Like, it's like a band or anything else. That if everybody's into him, it's because it's the easiest palatable thing to be easy to be into. But not because of anything that's like outrageous or anything. He was smart enough to steal from the right people, and that's really it. And again, package it. I think he just packaged himself really well. I don't fucking care for his shit.
No, man.
It kind of what sucks is that then it cheapens the work that he stole from.
Oh, I got you. Right.
So it's like Banksy and all these other people that where there is a respect to their work because there's something critical to it. Then you feel like, wow, you kind of cheapened the word. Now it's like, it took the power that it had, you know? It's like new metal, you know? It's like people that play fucking like Slipknot, and they're playing fucking, they say they're metal, and it's just like garbage. It's just shitty metal. It's not, you know, it's not like fucking Death or Sadist or Hellwitch or something where it's like, oh, fuck, this is the real dark shit. No, this is like metal light for everybody. It's like digestible to everybody, you know? And so it's just like, you know, to me, that's how I look at it. I look at it as like light bullshit, art light, you know, for everybody, you know. But hey, I want to see, JC, you said the show was good.
Boswell, yeah.
Yeah, you said it was better than normal. That's kind of what made me kind of want to, but are you talking about the actual convention? Because I heard Art Miami was good.
Yeah.
Art Miami was really good.
And it's growing.
Yeah.
It looked good. But Boswell by itself, man, it was a good, it was a really good exhibition of work. Mm-hmm. Like, that fair always looks polished, you know?
Yeah. Because
it's Art Basel. Like, they don't fuck around. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the look, in terms of the work that was there, it was actually a really good show to walk through. You know?
It's funny, because I talked to a couple of people, and some of them were not hardcore collectors, but they have collections.
Yeah.
And they go because some of them were Christie's or Sotheby's buyers.
Yeah.
So they're like, you know, they get invited to all the shit, so that's why they go. So then, you know, when you go there, you got a full spread, a chef, all the shit going on. So you're going to go for that. And they went, and they're like, I won't name names, but there were some of the people that told me that were like, they went and the show, they really were like this. They didn't feel it was very for those kind of casual collectors. Yeah. Like, it was more for the serious people who almost make their business. You know, like, that's their life. You know, their business is collecting.
Yeah.
While the people that are, like, actual collectors that like their own shit, and maybe they say, I like this, and I collect only pink things, or whatever the fuck, they were really kind of excluded from the people that I talked to. And I can't say shit because I haven't seen anything.
I would imagine so, man. Like, that shit is, like, that's, like, the top art game.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's the top dog. Yeah, like, that's just
exactly.
Not for
that's
fun.
The thing too. Like, because I'm talking about people that have collections that are, I want to say like thousandaires. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, they may have an $8,000 or $10,000 piece. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
And that's not shit in the art world. That's not anything. They might have some things that are of value because they've been collecting for so long. Because some of these guys have 20 years collecting, so they have shit that might be worth a lot now. But they're not going to let go of it. But these are people that are willing to buy something because they really want to live with a piece.
Yeah. Right.
You know? Now that the fucking guys that are willing to spend hundreds or millions of dollars, you know, hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars, that's different. I don't know.
Think about it. What kind of booth cost you there, bro?
Yeah.
Like 30, 40 grand?
Yeah. Holy easy.
Really?
I would think so.
Easy.
I would. For
I think one time, one year, they told us a price and it was like 20, 25. And that was, but that was like 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Imagine that.
So by now, it's like 40, 45.
So you gotta be guaranteed.
So if, like, if you're gonna put, let's say, just for shits and giggles, that it costs $30,000 to participate there. Why would you have like a $10,000 piece, you know?
Yeah.
You need at least one that covers the charge.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
But then the thing and is then that I never that,
those
saw.
Galleries are like top, like those
of their
are the
country.
Top, yeah, yeah, top
of,
players.
You
know,
like, and so in, within the world, you know, Gagosian and.
Yeah, they wouldn't have Roxas. That just because they don't, like, that's not our. Like, we're not in that bracket anymore, you know? Like, that's another market for, like, the other people. Like, Ferrari, you know what I mean? Like, they're not in Honda's market.
Right,
like,
right.
It's just.
Yeah.
We both sell cars, but we're like in this tax bracket.
Yeah. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, and that's the thing. I mean, really. I mean, I remember when we were. What was that artist that we were asking about? Like a goal here one time?
Oh, I saw him this year. You know?
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Jenny Saville.
Jenny Saville.
Yeah.
And it was like the paperwork.
Her paperwork started at $750,000.
Holy shit.
On paper.
Yeah. Holy shit.
And then after that, I think the paintings go for a couple of
years. And yeah, and her painting started like a 1.2 or something like that.
God.
Starting.
Damn.
Yeah.
Starting.
She had, what, did you ever see that show at the Norton?
No, I never saw it. I saw the book. You had the book.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's a monster. She's like.
Yeah, but that's like, right shit. Now, that's our top, one of the top artists in the world right now.
You know?
Jesus Christ.
Oh.
So, I know you're like, I don't even know what to do with myself. I mean, I want to walk out of the room and just throw the things on the floor. Like, fuck this.
I mean, it's insane though that, look, I appreciate art as much as the next regular person.
Because
apparently this it's irregular. But fuck, I mean.
No, but the thing is, there's a lot of fucking people with money out there.
No, but yeah, I guess.
Art Basel illustrates the shit out of that. Like, when you're there, and luckily when I worked with JC, like, we were kind of on both sides and we got to see all that. Fuck ton of money out there. And you know, when I used to work, you know, Art Basel, I remember always saying the same story. Like, I had to take some books for some people into the Basel, and they gave me the dealer pass. And I went in there, and I had to get the... It was like the day before it even opened, and the collector's lounge was already open.
Yeah.
And I had to go in there to give somebody some stuff. And I had to give them some paperwork, and they were going to give me stuff. And so I had, I don't want to name names, but whatever. I had his pass, and I was like, oh, okay, cool. And I was like, I was walking out, and I'm like waiting at the bar for some shit, you know. And I turn over, and like, I don't know, trying to be nonchalant, looking one way, like, da, 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 da. The next to me is a woman with fucking cashier's checks, one after another, from like some German construction company. And they're back and forth, and blah, blah, blah. And she started handing out checks, and I was like, 100 something thousand, 200,000, 300,000. She probably gave out like $1 million of checks right there. Like, those things are sold before the show even starts.
Right, right. Yeah, I read about it. I was reading one of the, like, a lot of celebrities show up the day before, and they start just picking shit out before it even
And then what was it, that article that you posted that was, like, they sold, more than $500 million?
I think it's, in 2011, it was, like, reported that it brings in about $500 million extra to the city.
God.
In terms of, like, tourism and all that. Like, the effect it has.
Right.
That's $500 million, bro.
God,
that's a shitload of money. If it does it in 10 days, even if you give it the whole month of December, if it does it in a month.
Yeah.
It's the biggest art exhibition in the world right now.
Yeah, when people come here, they're not eating shit. Like, they're going to come here and they're like, they want to top this, top that. And they were talking about how all the restaurants in Wynwood were doing fucking great.
Yeah.
Like, some just opened for that weekend in the sense of, like, they just opened their restaurant. Like, they waited.
This thing is like, there's a lot of, out of all the top fairs, there's a lot of fairs that are known worldwide. But this one is known worldwide mainly because it's Miami, I guess. Miami has like that feel to it, that party city feel to it, this glamorous feel to it. I don't know, like the same way, let's say, Vegas carries a certain,
right.
You know, you don't go to Vegas broke. You know, like, it just seems
you
like it seems dumb,
broke,
you know. It seems like Vegas has like this idea that is like you go there, you know, try your luck and have a wonderful time and gamble, and when that might not, it might not be the case, but that's the, like, the feeling.
Right, right, I got you.
So I'm assuming from an outsider that that Art Basel might have that same feel in terms of an art fair, art event. Now the actual fair is, in terms of size, is small, you know. like the size of the convention center, let's say like two halls or even if it was all of it, which kind of gets the attention, but what puts it on the map is everything that goes on in the city. Mm-hmm. Like the other, let's say, 20 art fairs that surround it.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So it's been dubbed like Art Basel Week or Art Basel Miami Beach Week. Mm-hmm. I guess some people are trying to change that to like Miami Art Week.
just to make it more broad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to kind of... Everybody will say, oh, Art Basel, but they might be like at another fair, you know?
Oh, I see what you mean, right.
So
right.
They're kind of trying to structure it more to what it is.
Right.
In terms of the bigger, like the money making, I would think that they're by far the fair that does it.
I mean, yeah, that's true. I mean,
like, that shit's a
I guess you kind of have to be in the know of it too, because I was going to say, like in Cali, I mean, I had never heard of Art Basel until I came out here, you know? Mm-hmm. But I wasn't into, I mean, I've never been more than like, I like art, but not deep into like, you know, knowing people who are into it.
Yeah.
And you know, like, you know about all like the events around, you know, the area, but never of a big one. Until I came here and I realized, holy fuck, like everybody seems to know about this.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things, like, unless, you know, you're kind of into art, you really don't know about it. But you're right, though.
From the first time, though, to now,
it has gotten way fucking bigger.
No, and let me tell you, you know, I've been through all of it, you know, like, since the first Art Basel.
Yeah.
And I always thought it was queer. It was, like, weird. Yeah. You know, like, what? What do you mean this is the world's biggest art fair? You know?
Yeah,
and then it's like, all this gallery's here. And it's like, man, this is 40th in North America. Get the fuck out of here. Like, kiss my ass, all these motherfuckers, because I don't, you know, because it's in your home turf, so you don't really, but you don't recognize that outside of here. Everyone's like, oh, Art Basel.
Yeah.
Oh, you know.
And it is, yeah, it is a big deal, man. It is, it's awesome that it's here, and it is a big deal that it's here, and it is a big deal that they do well here, and it helps us that they do well here.
Right. Let me ask you, in your prediction, though, like, how long do you think they can keep it going before it just gets too big or disorganized because it gets too big?
I think it got sharper now. I feel like it's a little sharper now.
Well, in terms of Art Basel, like, you got to understand that that term has been used to describe, like, the entire everything that happens. But Art Basel is the actual fair. Like, they already have a system how that fair works, and that's just down to the T.
Mm-hmm.
So how it functions, how it works, how the money gets moved, how the artwork gets moved, everything. You know, it's like a little world oil money machine. Now, in terms of how the city's going to control the rest that happens, like all the other different fairs and, like, say, traffic and, let's say, the way people move or all that, it's kind of like a city problem, you know?
No, but
Art Basel comes in there, makes their money, and we're out.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, like, I was saying, like most things, they get so big that eventually they're...
I don't think it'll fizzle.
You don't
I don't think it's going to
fizzle. That's the question, basically.
Because if anything, I see it becoming... If anything, maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, I would have thought that. Because some things were very spectacle. Very ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
And even though this year I didn't attend, from what I gathered from so many people telling me different shit, it seemed more hardline. It seems that it's getting out of its adolescence right now.
It's getting
to be a little bit more mature. And it's still out of the bayou. There's still crazy shit going on.
Yeah.
You know? But not as it was before, you know? And I don't think in Miami, where there was a lot of that resistance, where it was like, oh, fuck Art Basel, who are these guys coming in and fucking doing that? Or the other side, people that are just licking the balls of anything that comes out of Art Basel, now people are done with that. They know, okay, this is happening, so what do we do with it? You know? And they're good. My only thing is, yeah, I think that it is a city problem. I think there's a public transportation problem. I don't think they recognize that they need to do something because it was horrendous. I've never seen it that fucking bad as far as trying to get to a show.
Really?
It was one of those things that, and the other years I've always been able to rig something, find this, dip myself somewhere here. You know, I remember, you know, when I used to really go a lot, when I would, you know, attend the whole damn thing, especially in college, and it was like fucking park my car, whatever, and I'd be like, hopefully you won't get a ticket, and go, you know? Come back, nothing, boom, and go to the next show, or park somewhere really fucking far, have somebody drive us in, they're taking taxis, or get in and out, and just hit as many spots as we can, you know, this and that, you know, but this year I wasn't like that. This year it just seemed like impossible to do any of that shit.
Really?
You couldn't get in. You couldn't get out. And it was like, and it's because there's a lot more people now. And that, now it's not just, you know, hardcore art people or anything. It's just people like, oh, this is an event. Let's go.
Yeah. I people think really look forward to it. I don't think it will go anywhere. Like, going back to what you asked, I don't think it will go anywhere because it just seems like they're that fair, that particular fair, and whatever fair comes around with it is making good money on it. So it's a good return on their investment.
Yeah.
You know?
And I think it's the timing. It's
like, why
too.
Why would you?
Well, no, you know,
like, I would need to start taking losses to start thinking.
No, but you know, like some events just get too big, and then you're like, you know what? We're just gonna reel it back in and just keep it. You know, like
it's just like, you know, looking at like Burning Man or Coachella or any of these.
And that's what I was gonna say.
People don't really reel that in.
Yeah, I was gonna say the other example that is the Burning Man is Cannes Film Festival, where like they're pretty much iconic and they're not going to go anywhere and everybody expects them every year. And
I think sometimes that people want events like that. You want pinnacles. You want something that can kind of say, well, this is it. You know, I think that's the biggest thing, you know?
So smooth.
I can't stand it. He was there on stage. I'm like, no.
And then he was putting it away.
Yeah. Oh, Christ. Anyway.
Yeah,
but I think people want events that are like a pinnacle or something because it helps define things.
Yeah, that's what I was
And that's
say.
What some people hate. Because it's like, I think one of the things they said is like that saturated and is coming down is like the South by Southwest Festival. Because it's like, oh yeah, Kanye played on the Doritos nacho cheese fucking stage. That's fucking lame. No one wants that. You know, when you see that shit, it's after all, it's like, wow, okay, this is played out. That's it. We're done.
And that's what I mean. That's the, you know, like,
and I don't think Art Basel has that because, like you said, a lot of people don't know it. The people that are in the know are in the know. It is a high cultural thing, too. You can't just go in there and think, you know. I mean, you have all forms of stupidity in it, but it's a higher culture, higher thought process kind of event.
Now, if South by Southwest was to come down or all that, like, wouldn't there just be another?
Well, like there's a bunch of
be another festival that kind of takes it.
Yeah,
like,
it's,
you know,
weird,
like,
because
that event
like, again,
will continue to happen,
people,
but without that name, probably.
Exactly, and then what could happen is that South by Southwest is still going to chug along, and they're still going to make money.
Yeah.
What happens will be like they'll have like one or two maybe semi dormant years where what happens is the media is not going to like concentrate on it because they said that about San Diego Comic Con. A lot of people said this is too fucking crazy. This is too ridiculous.
That's the biggest one?
San Diego for comics? Yeah, San Diego's the biggest one. It was the mecca. But what's happened is that a lot of people say, this is too ridiculous. This is too out of hand. This is not fun anymore.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of people said, oh, I'll go, but then I want to see this one fucking panel. I got to be in line for 4 hours to go to that one panel. And I got to get there at 6 in the morning to get a position. Because you'll never get in if you don't do that. Yeah. And that, for a lot of people say, that sucks. And then it's all about the spectacle. And not about discovering something. And this is relative to all these things that we're talking about because it's the same thing for us. Like, being there as an independent publisher, a lot of people found us and that was cool.
Yeah.
But they were there because HBO was there and fucking The Hobbit was showing fucking...
Well, not only that, you're getting overshadowed by all the big fuckers too, right?
Oh, yeah. I was there when they're constructing 40-foot fucking soundstage things like that. I'm like... Yeah, I got a 9-foot banner. Like, yeah. I don't fucking...
Put the banner high.
I know. It was one of those things that when we were going, we're like, damn, dude, our banner's 9 feet, bro. I don't know. Maybe it's too big. When we saw it, like, ah, fuck you. Like, I was like... Because there was a limit. You couldn't go over 8 feet. So we were like, fuck it, let's do 9 feet. Yeah. Let's just, you know, let's tread against it. Let's blow their minds. They're like, what the fuck? Like, suddenly online entertainment's as big as my house. Like, it's like...
Fuck.
My apartment is not as big as their booth, you know? And, but, you know, when it happens... So then what happens is that little set other fairs start getting noticed, like Baltimore Comic Con and New York Comic Con. A lot of people say those are really good comic book cons. Like, as much as they have their spectacles, too, and they have their bullshit, like, video games takes a large part of it and everything else, people will go because they're still calm enough that you can still have access to things. San Diego is still the crazy stage. So I don't even, as far as Art Basel, I can't really, I mean, I'm thinking like the Whitney Biennial, the Armory.
Yeah, but those are more. They would need to be a fair, or like, because they, like, this is designed for sales,
mm-hmm.
period. Like, they're there to sell work. So they're really not there to exhibit work for the sake of exhibiting. or for the luxury of like, oh, you know, we're gonna exhibit it because it's a new artist or whatever. Like, that shit is designed for you to sell.
Like, and it goes back to what you're saying, right? I mean, people who want to buy know. If you're not gonna be even remotely interested in buying, you're not gonna even know about it.
Yeah, exactly. So I tell you, like, the casual collectors, the people that do have, you know, maybe a $200,000-$300,000 collection that's over 20 years or something like that, they were kind of off put. But again, you know, like, a lot of their stuff is classic or certain artists or certain whatever. It's like, you know, they're not gonna cater to that. You know, oh, I'm looking for something in a $5,000. Not here. You know, no one's going to fuck you.
You won't find it Basel, but you'll find it in surrounding fairs.
Right.
It's like going to the collection and be like, hey, do you have anything in a $30,000?
Yeah.
It's like, dude, we sell fucking, we start at an $80,000 Audi. You know, like,
yeah.
That's where we start. Like, don't fucking, you can't buy a keychain here. Like, don't fucking, you know. There's the gift shop right there. You want to buy a t-shirt? Because that's all you get for
a model car.
Yeah, exactly. We have a diecast. You know, like, so that's the thing, too. And then when he's saying that is true. And so we do benefit, because the one thing about Art Basel is you do have a chance of seeing artwork you'll never fucking see. Because also this is stuff that's not from a museum. These are from collections. So there's artwork out there that's like you'll never... I remember like the second year or third year of Art Basel, somebody had these prints. And there were two or three, and I looked at them and I go, wow, man, these prints are really cool. And there was like Toulouse-Lautrec. And I was like, holy shit. And I'm like, I've never seen this print before of Toulouse-Lautrec. This is so weird. It looks more Art Nouveau-ish. I've never seen. And I was talking to the lady about it, and he goes, yeah, this was in a private collection. This never has been out. Like, this has never been photographed for a book. This has never been... This has always been in a private collection, so no one's ever seen this outside of this private collection. So that's the kind of thing that you can benefit from going to an Art Basel show. And also getting the pulse of what modern art, at least as far as what's selling. Now, that's the problem, see? That's where you have the Mr. Brainwash kind of situation, where you're going to have what's selling. Does it mean it's good?
Look, the problem with brainwashing shit like that is that even though I think it's too early to tell, the problem is that initial investment into that piece
is
bullshit. Because I personally think that it puts you in a disadvantage to take a gamble on, let's say, his work, his particular work.
Is it going to last?
Like, I'd rather take a gamble, let's say, on an emerging artist, something different, something that I think is more relevant. I'm a painter, so I'll lean more towards painting. The problem with him is that he's a spark right now. All right, he has buzz, he has this. You're going to come into his work, let's say you buy a piece for $40,000, 10 years from now, 15, 20 years from now, it's not worth $40,000. It's worth less.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because the guy was...
Yeah, he's
a hit. He was
right
a one-hit wonder. Yeah. Right? Now, at that level where you're charging good amount of money, then they're doing it as much for an investment as they're doing it because they like the work. You know, like, if you buy a $1 million painting, like, that shit is not $1 million because, like, that guy just conned you into believing it's $1 million. He got $1 million out of you, but guess what? Like, you hold on to that, there's like a price value throughout the art market. You know, the X piece sold for this much during this time, during this, so you have it for $1 million, you sit on it, let's say, for 5 years, you flip it. Depending on who the artist is, you flip it. $2 million, $3 million. There's people that buy and sell work. There's families that buy and sell work with the work that they have. Right. Like, they've had work for 10 years. And then it's like, oh, well, we don't want to carry this work for whatever reason. We want to buy a new Murakami, let's say, right? They buy that work. All right, what can we do? I don't want to come out of pocket. All right, let me go to my collection. I take this piece out. It hasn't been on the market for 10 years, mm-hmm. right? All of a sudden, it's like you introduce this painting by God knows who. It's fresh out. Nobody's seen it in 10 years. God knows somebody's going to buy it. It's going to put it back on lock for 10 years. Then all of a sudden, they spend $1 million. They got three for it.
That makes sense. I mean, like you said, you're not when it comes to, like you said, like brainwashing people like him, you're not investing. You actually do want the work because it isn't probably going to get anything.
And it might be popular now. And like he says, $40,000, there's people out there that wipe their ass with right. $40,000.
And it's something, I mean, you're buying it.
And they say
like
they'll buy it, they'll put it over their couch. When people come over, oh, I got a Mr. Brainwash, how cool.
Yeah.
And they could give a flying fuck.
And
you 10, know?
20 years, or 10 years, they get rid of it like that.
Yeah, maybe
it's
2
no
years later,
them,
when they
right?
move somewhere else, they'll sell the fucking piece or whatever
that
they
makes
get
sense.
In,
that makes
and they
sense.
Move on. And there's other people, like you're saying. And then, you know, look at the investment aspect of it. I mean, there's property that doesn't have that kind of value, you know? I mean, you buy $1 million of property, you tend to buying a lot of fucking shit. But there, a lot of things can happen. You know, if you have a flood, if there's this or if there's that. I mean, I don't think a property, you can work it to make a lot more than an art piece. But $1 million like in an art piece. You have it, you go and you put it in, what is it, the vault or whatever that fucking place is, the art storage place.
You have it in your house. I mean, you just...
But let's say you put it away and you
drop a fucking mill, you're not going to keep it in your house.
Oh, dude, I remember our heads would... I remember...
Fucking a million.
No, there was three pieces of Picasso that sold, that we saw the auction, and they sold for like $100 million, $100 something million. And our fucking brains couldn't fit it. And that night, we went somewhere. We went to that bar, and it was on top of that fucking hotel or that building.
Yeah.
And I remember we were like, dude, this fucking building is at $100 million.
Yeah.
And I think my brain just started bleeding.
It was a painting. It was like,
and it was like a painting and maybe a sculpture, right? Or something like that?
It was a painting. It was a painting.
Just a painting?
Yeah.
And it was a Picasso piece. And you have to think about it. If you go to like Star Island, there's homes there for $4, $5, maybe $8 million. Yeah. Still not worth that fucking painting. So if you built, like, if you bought that house just to put the painting in, that's probably a solid investment.
Yeah.
You know?
Christ.
Though that's how that works sometimes.
Yeah, that level is...
No, that's ridiculously retarded, crazy.
It's like stocks, man. You know what I mean? Like, you invest your money in a certain stock.
So, yeah, that's what I'm saying. But when you're looking at an investment, you don't... I mean, that's what I'm saying. If I'm investing into something, I'm making sure that investment, nothing happens. So I'm not going to put it in my house. I'm not going to keep it anywhere where somebody can even fucking touch it or breathe on it. You know?
But that's a whole point.
Well, I mean, that's
that.
The part of it, too. Like, it's like saying you'll buy a Rolex, but you're not going to wear it.
Well, I mean, it's a Rolex.
But I mean, as opposed to, let's say, I don't know, like another no-name brand watch
Casio.
That you'll still like it, but you know as the years go by that you'll never be able to resell that watch, right? Okay. The other one, because, like, there's no market for it. As opposed to your Rolex, you could wear it for 10 years, and 10 years has gone by, and then, hey, guess what? Now this is like a 10-year-old Rolex that, like, for whatever reason, it was in the 1990s, now we're in this day, so it might gain value or there might be something to it. Mm-hmm. But to say that you're not going to wear that Rolex is like...
No, but I'm saying that, but, you know, I guess what I meant was if my intention is to resell and to hang on to it, then, you know, then, yeah, you don't let anybody fucking breathe on it, right? But if you're buying it, and yeah, someday you're not going to like it, but then you want it to kind of retain its value, but you still are going to wear it all the time and, you know, let it maybe...
Somebody said it once, I forgot what it was. It was like, being rich is very expensive.
Nice.
You know?
I like that.
Right? Yeah, I forgot who it was. But being rich is very expensive. And if you're fucking rich, you got to show, you know...
That's clever. That's stupid,
yeah,
but clever.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Being rich is very...
And that's the thing. I think a lot of times when you look at any of those kind of things, it's like, you know, you got to represent. You have to have it. Like, I'm going to have people over. Yeah, I'm going to fucking pull out the Matisse I have.
There's people that have, like, they have a larger collection than what they could show. And then... I could see that playing, like, where you kind of put it away and you don't see it. But I can't see, like, buying something and kind of just never looking at it and stuff like that. Because the collector wants to see it as much as...
Does he?
As he wants to own it. Yeah, of course, because you live with it.
Yeah, you live with it.
No, but I mean, like, I'm telling you, I guess... I guess it goes back to, like, I can't fathom spending a ridiculous amount on something that... I do plan on reselling later on. I mean,
it's no different than what you have going on here on your walls right now. Like, it's absolutely no different.
It's a micro-macro situation in the ratio of it.
Yeah.
What's the most expensive piece of artwork you've bought? You have various pieces here.
I couldn't even tell you.
But what? $100 maybe?
Maybe. But I really... I swear... Okay, let me think. Probably one of my guitars. I would consider them one of the most expensive. And I would consider them art to a certain extent because they are beautiful.
Yeah, but they're not art. They're art.
What if I never
handmade?
What if I never played
it? But they serve a purpose, though. Like, fine art isn't necessary. It's not necessarily obligated to serve a purpose.
Yeah.
Oh, very nice.
Like, that's why you see some crazy
shit.
It's
strictly for admiring.
You know?
Okay,
it could serve a purpose, but it's not necessarily obligated to serve a purpose.
Let's say $100 out of what you make in a year, whatever it is.
No, but that's different, though.
Why?
Because of what your budget is. You could make $100,000, but you could spend $80 a year just keeping your lifestyle. Yeah. You know? So
now, thinking that ratio, that you were willing to spend $100 on everything, imagine if somebody who makes $50 million makes $100 million, whose worth is half a billion. So what is a $1 million painting?
Look, I could see...
I got you.
All three of us spending, let's say, right now, trying hard and really trying to do it, if you fell in love with it, $2,000 on a painting.
I agree.
Without a problem.
I agree.
Right? Without a problem. Like, if you saw the right painting and you fell in love with it, $2,000, you're like, oh, I might be tired. I'll make up for it next month, the month after. But if you wanted it, you'll get it. It's no different, let's say, than you, if you saw, like, a nice big screen or a nice whatever trip. But I think right now, for our lifestyle, $2,000 kind of seems like nobody's going broke over it. And, you know, it helps. But if you fell in love with it, you own it. Once you own it, then you own it for as long as you take care of it.
Right.
Now, the beauty of that is that waking up in the morning and, like, throughout your coffee, let's say in the first 30 days, admiring every day, oh, I love it. Say after 90 days, let's say after 2 or 3 years, it's still there and you're moving around your house, and then now you're kind of sort of used to it, but you're still, like, living with this piece and it's still kind of influencing you. And maybe, like, on a random Friday when you're having a couple of drinks, you're sitting back and you're looking at it and you're like, damn, you know, like, I really went out of my way to come up with these $2,000. And then it was like, oh, this was 4 years ago. This was happening 4 years. I remember the dealer. The dealer sold it to me. So it's not like you're carrying this shit around for as long as you own that piece.
Right.
It's no different for them, you know?
And I think in the difference of a fucking plasma TV can only go down in fucking
value. Yeah. And we'll spend two.
And an art piece can either stay the same or go up. I don't really think it'll go down.
But I think in your example, super, though, like, I completely agree. If I ever saw something that was just, you know, fucking...
I instantly thought David Cho. If I could have a chance to get have a David Cho piece...
On the spot, you would.
I would be like, $2,000? I mean, it'll be in payments, bro. I mean, lay away. You gotta, 5 minutes in the back, anything goes. I don't know. Yeah. But but that happened to me with Ryan Otley's the two drawings, pencil pieces.
Right? Yeah.
That was $800. Yeah. $800. I've never spent that money on anything like that before.
Yeah.
And I wanted those two pages so bad. I emailed the guy. I spent $100 every month, sending him $100, $100, then $200. When he sent it to me and I had it, and I still have it. I have it fucking shoved in the back of my bed, the fucking masonite. And one day I'm going to frame the fucker.
No, but what I'm saying is this, though. Like, when it's a piece like that, you are going to enjoy it, though. That's the purpose of it. Like, you're not thinking resale at that point, right? You're thinking,
I didn't think it. $800. No, I did. I'm not stupid. It's a two-page... Ryan Otley, that guy's just going up as a comic book artist.
Right.
He's just becoming more badass. Luckily, he's working independent. But there's already talk like he might do Marvel soon. He might do DC. He hasn't done it because he's doing great where he is. He started doing Walking Dead stuff. That's made his artwork go up in value. Dude, that's awesome. That,
but when you bought it, though, you weren't thinking resale. You weren't thinking anything. I mean, I want it.
It was there.
Well, you're thinking I want it.
But you know, you already know. You own it now. You already know.
Yeah.
That if, let's suppose you ever got in a jam and I want to sell something for whatever reason, like, you know, you will sell that for $800 or more. One, you're not going to sell it for less because you paid $800 for it. Two, you know that it's not going to go for less because the guy is only doing his thing. He's not going to be a mechanic next year.
Yeah.
You know, he's only doing his shit. So let's say 5 years down the road, for whatever reason, you just don't want it, or you're in a spot or whatever. But you just wake up one day thinking, let's see how much I can sell this for. You might be like, yo, let me put it out there for $1,600. See what it does.
Yeah.
Now, this is him that he doesn't do this for a living, let's say. Imagine a collector or a dealer that buys and sells works for a living. You know? Like, there's the people that go and ultimately buy work because they fall in love with it and they want to see it. But then there's also people there's a market for that. There's a market for buying work and reselling work. Just like cars, just like shoes, like watches, like anything. Only it just so happens that market could be millions and millions of dollars. These are the same paintings, or could be some of the same paintings that you see in your museums. And you're like New York museums, and you're like worldwide museums, like your fucking National Gallery, you know, like you're talking about like heavy, heavy, heavy hitters.
Yeah, but I meant that, but I think it goes back to like, yeah, you know, you said within our means 2,000. But if you could invest 10,000 in, for the intention of, like, I know this guy's going to be fucking big in five years, so I know I'm going to get three times my money back. Mm-hmm. is that still something you put up on your wall?
Oh, yeah.
Even though you got to make sure that stays mint because it's going to resell in 5 years for you.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. I mean, you're just hanging out on the wall. I mean, unless you have
people
who just throw darts randomly.
Overall, like, we don't.
I don't know. I guess because I see it like, if I'm investing and I know I'm going to resell this, this bitch is going to go somewhere where nothing, not even a drunken me, can accidentally piss on it.
Yeah.
You know, because it happens. but that's what I'm saying. I think that's the difference. Like, if I fall in love with a $2,000 piece and I do everything I can to get it, yeah, that motherfucker's going to be up until you can't fucking read.
Hey, that's like when you frame it in glass,
yeah, you know?
And you make it nice.
But if I'm looking at $10,000 that I know I'm going to turn into 30 in 5 years, that is not going to come out to the day of light.
I have seen some great work go through some ravages just because people hung it in their mantelpiece and where the fucking sun shines.
Ugh.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, that's what I do for a living, technically. I mean, that's what I protect my boss's art collection. So I sit there going, you know, hey, man, let's put
some... rotate.
Can we, yeah, rotate, make sure where everything is at. I tell him, hey, man, can we, you know, we need to put UV glass on this shit. We need to frame this the right way. You know, like, some shit's just framed like he went and bought, or whoever was in charge, like, bought fucking frames at Utrecht and just put them on there. You know?
Yeah.
And when you go to see, it's like fucking... They put, like, regular cardboard on a paper piece.
Yeah.
It's like, dude, in 3 years, that's just going to bleed acid right into the fucking paper, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he has other pieces that I'm not going to name, but, you know, yeah, we had to frame them, but good. I had to frame frames, you know, because the frame was part of the studio of the original artist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I could not get rid of that. I'm like, and he's like, oh, I'll take it off that frame. So I'm like, are you fucking, you know, are you crazy, man? So, and, like, provenance, you know, like, that's another thing that's part of having a piece of artwork. Provenance is the history of the artwork, where it was from.
Where it's been, so where it's done.
I've handled artwork that has, like, it shows Sotheby's and Gallery, all that, and it has different stickers. And what happens? Oh, there's a pencil mark on it. Oh, what's that pencil mark? That's Picasso. That was a Picasso fucking drawing, and he signed it in the back, or he had made a note or something. And that's the provenance of this fucking piece. And so it's like, oh, instead of saying, oh, rip those stickers off, like, no! Like, they preserve that shit, you know? And that's part of the thing, too. I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that.
That's fucking crazy. This is why I don't know shit about art.
Yeah, man, but the thing is, it's no different than your daily life. Like, there's no mystery to art, you know? Like, it only seems that way because everybody thinks of, like, the big prices. But it's no different than, all right, there's a piece of furniture for sale, right? There's one at Goodwill. Let's say a chair. There's one at Goodwill that's made out of wood, and it's probably, let's say, 20 years old, but it's made out of solid wood, and it still lasts, and it'll get the job done. And there's one at Walmart that is $20, and it's made out of compressed wood, and one looks new, the other one looks beat up, because it's a Goodwill. But one of them is solid wood, and it's already lasted 20 years. And it's going to last another 20. Guaranteed. All you need to do is go to work on it, sand it a little bit, paint it, bring it back up to shape. 9 out of 10 people are going to go get the Walmart chair because it's brand new. It has a nice style. It goes with it. Walmart has a nice picture that, you know, tells you, like, this chair helps you live better. Mm-hmm. Where do you put your $20, right? You can buy art right now anywhere. Anywhere. IKEA sells it. Walmart sells it. Ross. Fucking Pier 1. Wherever you can think of, you can bump into it. Now, where's the sound? Buy, you know what I'm saying? You can get it for $40 here, for $50 here. There's a ton of artists right now that will sell your drawing for $40, $50. If you want a bigger frame, people have $30 prints, like, let's say a $35 Van Gogh print on a $200 frame. You know? Alright, so you're totaled up plus tax plus everything. Let's say you paid $250. I'm sure there's an emerging artist out there that will sell you a piece for $250.
Yeah, it's a really good
it's just point. Like, what do you want to surround yourself with? You want to surround yourself with original work, or you want to surround yourself with work that looks like it looks like original work, but
that's
it's not.
That's a really good fucking way to put it.
I know, and there are a lot of beginning collectors. They do the same thing. They find an artist they like, and they'll study them. Mm-hmm. They're dating them. They're looking. They'll be like, when's your next show? When's it coming out? What is the next thing you're working on? What are they looking for? And they'll go, and you know what happens? A little bit of fandom. And they might not buy shit. They're not buying anything. They'll go 2 to 3 shows of yours, and they haven't bought anything. You know, but their whole thing is to see you. And after a while, like 2 or 3 years, 4 years, I'll be like, oh, it looks like they're not going away. And I like what they're doing. So now I'm willing to throw down and support this person.
Yeah.
And buy their work. Because now I know that they're going to keep going. And they're seeing and saying, oh, he's getting better.
Yeah.
He's doing something interesting. In the beginning, it was novice. Now, oh, now he's like, oh, he's bringing, it's just like a musician. It's just like anything else. Oh, wow, they're getting better. They're doing more. They're doing long run. And that's the thing. It's that's where perseverance for a lot of artists needs to be there. And for collectors, too. Because why the fuck should they... Oh, I'm a genius. How the fuck do I know that? The only time that they're ever going to find that out is once you're dead or after 40 years or something. Like,
time.
Yeah, time is just going to be saying it. Nope. And so an artist that might be at it for 10 years is finally... What was it? One guy I was looking at is Vic Muñez.
Yeah.
You know?
Brazilian guy?
Yeah. And it was like, you know... I can't say I'm a really big fan of his work, but that guy's been doing it since the 80s.
Yeah, it's not bad, though.
So what was it? I was reading some article. He's like the number two most searched artist before Warhol, number one, was it? And after, at number three is Picasso.
Jesus
Christ. On ArtNet. And I remember reading that somewhere, and I was like, oh, shit. You know? Like, that's kind of interesting that he's so searched after. And so, I mean, you know, and that guy's somebody that's been doing it since the 80s.
Hmm.
You know, and now he's getting where he is.
No.
So, Chris, are you willing to buy this piece for
$2,000? $100 a month, right?
Yeah, $100 a month. Little by little.
Let's end it right here. But we are going to just keep the mics going for another episode since we have him here. And yeah. I'm never fucking coming back to this place, even if... All right. A funeral, maybe. Maybe.
The fuck you? Why do you have to do that ominous note? That's
for our boss next year.
Yeah.
No, if anything, Fantasy Fest shit. That fucking thing was
fun. Yeah. Of course. Everybody likes that.